morning, everybody. Happy Mother's Day. Let's give it up in the for all the moms in the rooms right now. Yeah. All right. Well, my name is Brad. I'm from the West Side. Will you guys stand with me? We're going to sing some songs together. Let's do it. One, two, three.
We have to work with them. victory won. May I reach heaven's joy so bright.
Clear eyes.
So God, I thank you for the simplicity of that statement. It's you that have given us breath. It's you that have given us ears to hear. And I think you did that for a purpose. I think you wanted to be able to communicate with us when you created us. And I think that is freaking amazing. So God, I thank you for that. Just the simple fact that we have a way to communicate to you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, hey guys, thank you so much for singing with us. As you're having a seat, why don't you turn to somebody you haven't met yet and give them a high five.
Hey there, it's Fear. Did you read that? Potatoes can be deadly? Think back to this morning. Oh, hash browns. I knew those were a bad idea. Were they sprouting? Sprouting hash browns can be deadly, dude. No wonder you've been sitting so long. Constipation, huh? Speaking of sitting, did you read that last headline that said sitting is the new smoking? Oh, holy crap! You're sitting down right now! There's over 77 million forms of bacteria and viruses in this bathroom!
Watch that flush. These industrial toilets will suck your intestines right out.
Fear can be funny sometimes, right? But we know in all of our lives it sort of follows us around too. And sometimes we lose sleep over it. And sometimes we check our bank accounts too many times a day because of it. And sometimes we wake up in the middle of the night or we worry about our kids or any number of things. Fear is a really present thing in all of our lives if we think about it. And if you can think of any part of your life that's impacted by fear, then you're not gonna wanna miss this series. Every week of it is gonna be incredibly relevant to us. And the big deal is that fear is a liar. And that's incredibly good news to any of us who live in the real world where fear interacts with us all the time. And it's not just gonna be great for you. I want you to think about your family, your parents, your kids, your coworkers, your friends. Who can you bring whose life could be radically changed, who could be made entirely better by experiencing the series and the good news that we're gonna have from this? One of the great ways that you can invite your friends and become sort of like a hub of community where people can experience God through Crossroads is to become a host on Crossroads Connect. We just created this new tool. You can go to crossroads.net/connect. You're gonna see a massive map of the United States. You're gonna see dots all over the map. It's been really incredible. We've had over 500 people in most of the states in the country already add themselves to the map, but you can add yourself and become a host. That's what I'd love for you to do. You can become a host where people can find a weekend gathering in their town, in your neighborhood. The way to do that is to go to crossroads.net/connect, hit get started, and then hit sign up to be a host. The application takes 30 seconds. You hit submit, we're gonna be in touch with you to have a talk and basically be able to equip you. We have a kit that we're gonna send you to help you do this really well. You're gonna get a coach, you're gonna get pro tips. It's gonna be awesome. We'll make it really easy for you to be the hero of your neighborhood. But what that does is lets people put in your zip code, your city, your town, your neighborhood, and find that there's a crossroads place where people are gathering and experiencing the weekend together. And you can be that person and be a host. If you haven't added yourself to the map yet, or if you're not sure if there are people in and around your neighborhood who might want to gather together at your house to experience the weekend, that might be your first step. Same get started button on the website. You add yourself to the map and suddenly you're findable. People can click hi, send you a message, you can email them back, and bam, best friends forever right away. It's an awesome way for you to get connected with people right where you live and create local community. And that's really what we want, because we believe church is a team sport. It's not a solo thing that we try to figure out between us and God. We think God talks to us through community. And when we have people around us who are our friends and we're following God together, we grow and have a blast doing it. One of the ways we're gonna have a lot of fun in just a few days is through Go Local. On May 20th, all across the country, thousands of people will gather together to bless the cities and neighborhoods that they live in. And you can be a part of it. Signups for it have closed, but you're awesome. So if you email us at anywhere@crossroads.net and you wanna be in, we'll send you tips and help you get connected with an organization, a partner who you can go and serve on that day. Because on that day, everywhere in our country, people are gonna be laying down mulch, they're gonna be painting walls, they're gonna be playing with kids. And we're gonna see a movement start that you're gonna wanna be a part of. So shoot us an email and we'll get you connected so you don't miss out on Go Local. All of this stuff is fueled by the generosity of everyday people like you and me who decide to give because we believe in what God is doing and we wanna see people getting connected all over the country, people serving people all over the country. And we're gonna have a time to be generous right now. You can go to crossroads.net/give and sign up to do a recurring gift or a one-time gift. And while we do that, we're gonna hear some stories from people who have been impacted by our generosity. Glad you're here.
The Crossroads community partners with Compassion International in Nicaragua and Bolivia. Compassion has been working for more than 65 years to provide impoverished children with a strong opportunity to overcome poverty. For $38 a month, children are given a real chance to succeed. Not only does that money go towards a child's food and educational needs, but it also leads to lifelong relationships between the children and their sponsors.
Hello, God bless you, esteemed sponsor Bill Vasquez.
Hello, and God bless you.
How are you? I'm really glad to write you this letter.
I am grateful to God for putting in your heart the desire of sponsoring me.
I want to tell you about my promotion to preschool.
My school teacher's name is Nyla, and she has taught me to read, to write, and to pronounce words.
I participated in a parade in September at my school.
I'm on vacation this week, and I'll soon start preschool.
I'm happy because I passed my school year, I got good grades, and I'm on vacation.
Last week, I had an exam in my school, and I got a 60 out of 60. With God's help, we can do everything.
I am learning to pray and drawing the project.
I like to see the photos of your grandchildren that you enclosed.
I also like the letters that you've sent me.
I ask you to pray for God to guide my family.
I ask you to pray for my grandmother because she is sick.
And I ask that you pray for my mother.
You are always in my prayers.
And I will be praying for you and your family.
I will always remember the beautiful moment when I met you.
Goodbye with love and affection, Irvin.
God bless you, Alexander and family.
With much love, Mikey's.
Goodbye with a strong hug. I sponsor Lydia. She is 6 years old. She reminds me of my daughter. They're around the same age, and they're just so happy. It just brings joy to my life.
She was just a beautiful little girl. I just can't imagine somebody not being able to help her, and I'm just so thankful that it's Lori and I.
When you sponsor a child, it brings them real hope and real resources they otherwise wouldn't have. You are investing in a brighter and better life.
That's some good stuff right there. I'm telling you, it's good. You are going to be very thankful you came today in a moment if you're not right now. I mean, how often do you get the opportunity to literally change a life? I'm so excited to talk about this today, and actually hang in there. Like, you might be a little butt-puckering right now, but I think I'm really glad you're here right now, okay? So let's pray before I go any further, all right? God, you're good to give us stretching moments. You're good to remind us of how generous you've been to us, and you're good to bring us here today, whatever Crossroads site we're at, wherever we are, Crossroads anywhere, all across the country. We're thankful that you're a God who knows who we are, and you are using us, and you want to use us greater. So help me and to be used by you to the most powerful and pleasing degree possible to your hearts. And I pray these things according to the character and identity of Jesus. Amen. Happy Mother's Day, moms. It's great to be with you this weekend. Mother's Day is a bit special for the Tone family this year because we thought the mother figure of our family, the mother of my kids, my wife, was going to be having a different life and different family forever after Lib got a stroke several weeks ago, cut off half the blood supply to her brain. And, you know, when you go, and well, she's had a miraculous recovery, by the way, if you're brand new today, miraculous, utterly miraculous. And you don't know that. You don't know that when you go see your wife in the hospital after she's been taken by an ambulance to a place. And I've been in the hospital a lot of different times for a lot of different reasons, but there's just an emotional weight to when you visit the mother of your children in a room, and you're not sure if you're ever going to hear her talk again, see her walk again, or see her feed herself again. That's a different kind of intensity. And where did they take her? The hospital name that she went to was called Good Samaritan, known in Cincinnati as Good Sam. I'm just curious, has anybody in here ever heard of the phrase, maybe never that hospital, but anybody ever heard the phrase Good Samaritan? Just raise it. Anybody ever hear the phrase Good Samaritan? You have. Oh, fascinating how it's going out there. If I asked you to raise your hand, if you actually read the story, The Good Samaritan, fewer of us would have raised our hands. Even if I would have said, did you know that's a phrase in the Bible, fewer of us would have raised our hands. If I asked you specific details of that story, fewer of us would have even raised our hand. And isn't it interesting that there's a phrase that's universally understood by everybody in America, and yet many people don't know that Jesus made this story up. If he didn't make it up, it might have happened for real. We don't know if it's a real story or he made it up, but we know it comes from Jesus and his teaching. And I'm going to spend some time looking at that today. It comes from the book of Luke chapter 10. And this is why hospitals are named after the Good Samaritan, because of what Jesus said in an interaction with a guy who was a contrarian, a guy who was trying to debate him on spiritual and religious matters. And this guy knows that Jesus is into things such as love your neighbor as yourself. And so he throws out this question to him. He says this, but he, this cynic, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Who's my neighbor? And Jesus replied, well, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, and stripped him, and he beat him, and they departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So Jesus is trying to get this guy and all of us to understand, who is it that's really connected with humanity? Who is it that's really connected with the heart of Jesus? Who is it that really is smiled upon by God? And Jesus gives three different people here. Now, like I said, Jesus could have actually envisioned this with his own eyes, and he's retelling the story. In all likelihood, he's making this story up in order to give him a point. And one of the reasons I believe that way is he goes in the rule of threes. Advertising goes by threes. Tired of stinky hair? You want your hair to be cleaner? How about putting a nice sheen on your hair? The rule of threes. And here we have the rule of threes. The first person he sees is a priest. It's the first person. The second person is a Levite. That's the second person who sees this guy. And then the third person is a Samaritan. Jesus would have seen people who are down on the side of the path, on the side of the road, going from Jerusalem to Jericho. The priests were the religious professionals. And you would think the religious professional would see somebody who's been beaten, who's naked, who's battered right there, and, oh, let me help you, let me help you. No, they do, oh, ooh, let me kind of walk around you, ooh, and they keep going their way. Second person is the Levite. Levites are one of the tribes of the nation of Israel. The Levites are where the priests are produced out of. They're supposedly the holy tribe, right? So now we got like the spiritually elite tribe, a Levite. Someone in there comes, I got places to go. I got to go, and off they go. See, it's not. What you believe that causes you to be close to God. It's not what your values are that cause you to be close to God. It's what you do that tells God whether or not you want to be on his agenda, whether you want to be in the neighborhood in which he resides. And then Jesus used something that is incredibly inflammatory. He speaks to a Samaritan. Now, you and I, that's a wonderful term, a good Samaritan in our cultural context, because we've heard that phrase so many times. That's a wonderful thing. But in first century Judaism, the Samaritans were their arch enemies. The Samaritans were the ones that they looked down on and judged. You had Gentiles, you had Jews, and right in the middle you had what the Jews referred to or viewed as half-breeds. They were half Gentile, they were half Jewish, they weren't fully Jewish, and they weren't fully Gentile. They were just kind of, they viewed them as, you have our blood tainted, you've tainted our cultural traditions. They couldn't stand the Samaritans at all. We all have this, right? We all have somebody who we like to look down on, somebody whose ethnicity we think is less than ours, perhaps. Somebody whose economic status, whether higher than ours or less than ours, we assume that person's kind of not a good person. Somebody who roots for a specific football team. Somebody who, you know, we all have somebody who we're like, oh, that person, oh, you drive that kind of car. Oh, you date that kind of person, whatever it is. We have somebody generally that we want to look at. For the Jews, this was the Samaritans. The phrase good Samaritan, I mean, to the Jews that you would know Samaritans, good, that would be like today for you and I if Jesus talked about the good Al-Qaedan. Al-Qaeda? You mean the Al-Qaeda guy walked by? The Al-Qaeda guy walked by and said maybe there's something that should be done there? This is what is called compassion. Compassion. Compassion isn't when you think nice thoughts. Compassion isn't when you believe certain thoughts. Compassion is when you do something. Compassion is when you alter your world, you alter your plans. Instead of walking by, you stop and you change things. This is the name of one of the greatest nonprofit organizations in the history of our country. It's called Compassion International. They have a stellar track record. They are amazing. What you do for $38 a month is you literally change a child's life. We all talk about, I want to change a life, I'm changing lives, I want to impact lives. But really, if you kind of dissected what we do in our lives, perhaps some indirect correlations here and there. When I sponsor through Compassion International, I know I am literally changing a life, two lives. Lib and I have two compassion kids currently right now. I know I am literally changing a life. I know there's a child who would be hungry who's going to get fed every day. I know there's a child who's now going to get an education, and I'm going to cover them all the way through 18, and then 20% of all compassion kids go on to college. It's unbelievable. And it's only because Lib and I have a one-to-one ratio of being able to sponsor. Okay, what does sponsorship look like? Well, let's take a look at what it looks like for the Samaritan here, who we know as the Good Samaritan. But he, desiring to justify himself, lost one there. Oh, my iPad just went wacky. Okay, I guess I'm not going to the next slide. All right, I'll read it up here. Here it goes. But he, desiring to justify himself, said... I'm sorry, now I'm reading the wrong slide. It is the other one, guys. The next... There it is. Good. But I just don't have that on my pad. I must have deleted it, so I can't do all my fun little doodlies. So, sorry. Sucks to be you. It would have been good for you to have seen all that. So here it goes. So he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back. Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among robbers? And the guy said, the first one. The one who showed him mercy. The guy can't even say the Samaritan. He says the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus said to him, you go and do likewise. You go and show compassion. This is compassion. Puts oil on his wounds. He gets him clothes. He gets him to an inn. He says to the innkeeper, here's money. And if he needs more, I will sponsor him. If he needs more, I'll cover more as it goes. Man, when I went to see Rudy's the child who we sponsor in Nicaragua, when we did this last time at Crossroads two years ago, I went to meet Rudy and his mom and his sister, and it was amazing. I have to admit that before I even go any further, I know something about you because I know something about me. One, you're an American probably, and number two, you're cynical. Because we as Americans, we really are good at cynicism. We're really good, like, if something looks too good to be true, then it is too good to be true. If something is big and it's more people are doing it, then someone's padding their pockets and something bad is happening someplace. So we're talking about Compassion International, like, oh, hold on, man. I don't know. See, from my perspective, I heard of this organization, and I said, hey, that's fine, $38 a month. I mean, whatever. I mean, I fart $38 a month. I mean, it's not... And by the way, I said that when I was 28, and making like very, very little money. We do. Seriously, you think about $38. What do you do for $38? Jeez, that's half of your coffee habit for a week for some of us. That's a movie that you're going to with your girlfriend. That's premium subscriptions you don't even use. You've forgotten about, right? So it's like, come on, fine, I'll do it. But I didn't really buy the whole thing that, yeah, when I'm writing a letter, it's going there, and the kid reads the letter, and it comes back to me. I thought, they got some kids in some sweatshop who are kind of writing some letters, and it's going to this big, like, organization, and it's going to go for this kid, but we're just getting this kid to write the letter. I really was. I was like, so I never wrote a kid. Never, ever, ever. Until I went over to Nicaragua and saw, or it was a different country where Compassion was, and saw the kids, my gosh, when they aren't written to, they're personally crushed. When people stop giving money, that child now goes hungry again. I saw it was a 1-to-1 ratio. I went down and I saw the child that we sponsored in Nicaragua and saw his mom, and she's ecstatic, like, hey, I got one less mouth to feed, so it's easier for me to feed the rest of the family. When I looked and saw the hope there, it utterly, utterly wrecked me. And I love now talking about compassion right now with you, because here's what I know about you. You're like always trying to put stuff on me. Well, Brian Tom's just saying this because this. If I get nothing out of this. You understand? I get nothing out of this. Crossroads gets nothing out of this. In fact, we get hurt. I hope we don't. I'm going to tell you right now, if you're going to get a sponsor today, which I hope you do, I'm going to ask you, please, do not cannibalize your giving to Crossroads to do this. We run on very thin margins. We help a lot of people in cities where Crossroads is who are in poverty. We do a lot of important things. And if we have a lot of cannibalization, there's going to be people who are going to be hurt here. So please, I'm trusting you not to do that. Now, having said that, this is still very hard and very difficult. Because pastors, we don't want to talk about giving. I know you think that we want to all the time. We really don't. We don't like it because we know you don't like it. And we like you to like us. And so when you get the energy and courage to actually do it, you want it to be for your thing. You want it to be for the thing that you have to manage budget to. And it's wonderful to be able to do this. And just know, friends, I get nothing out of this other than the joy of knowing there's kids whose lives will be changed if you become a neighbor of Jesus. There's people whose lives will be different, will be not figuratively different, not like indirectly differently. You will literally change a life of somebody for the rest of their life. It's amazing. Who's offering that to you? Who's offering you that kind of fulfillment, that kind of impact with your life? This is the stuff that Jesus does. This is the stuff he calls us to be people of compassion. Last time we did this, we had a number of people who stepped up, and here's one of these families.
In the arms of the angel, fly away.
Honestly, being part of the Compassion Weekend at Crossroads is something we'll never forget. I remember when Brian said, "Is sponsoring a child something that you're up for?" And I thought of what it would take, standing up from my seat, walking over to where the pictures were, taking a picture off the wall, and I thought, yeah, I can do all three of those things. It was awesome, it was
so
great.
So great, so great, I cried.
She cries, you know? I think sponsoring a child, honestly, says more about us than it does the child. We're kind of compassionate people. We want to make a difference. We're all right.
Yeah.
We were told that Crossroads sponsored something like 6,000 kids, and there were no children left in Nicaragua to sponsor. That was an incredible feeling of accomplishment. I mean, we felt everyone applauding for us. We got to really soak in that accomplishment. It was beautiful.
Wow. Yeah, it was awesome.
And was the sign-up process easy enough?
Oh, it was totally easy. I mean, you just get the picture at the back of the room, and then we came home and put it on our refrigerator, and we haven't looked back since. That was it. I just think a little Paco and Smile, or Rico, maybe his name's Tico.
That's from Dora the Explorer, Jim.
I thought he was wearing a great Transformers shirt. is what
I... We have a girl.
Well, whatever.
Wait, let's go back to the paperwork. Like, you never actually registered your child?
The great thing about this program is the kind of pay optional vibe to the whole thing. We were worried that sponsoring a child would affect our fun Fletcher lifestyle, but it didn't at all. Like, we haven't paid $1.
So you're not giving any money?
It's completely changed our Facebook feed. And I like that when people come into our house, they see that picture and they know we're the kind of people who will sponsor a child.
You're not sponsoring anyone.
Whatever it is, we do that.
No, you don't.
And to think that we're part of a community, everyone who is said together will say that we commit, whether they do anything about it or not. Because at the end of the day, you don't have to do anything to promise that you will. And isn't that what compassion's all about?
No, that's not what it's about.
We're thinking that this year, we'll sponsor two.
No, I don't think, can we cut?
We're supposed to pay money?
Well, I don't think that.
Oh, funny and true. We've got a percentage of folks who took stuff and didn't, when you take that child's counting on you and just didn't follow through or stopped at some point later. And not because lost their job or anything, still doing Starbucks, still doing movies, nothing, just like stop. And I'll tell you, if that's you, I will deal with you. No, seriously, I'm not being funny here. I'm seriously, it's offensive. Unfreaking believable. That's gonna be another message because I can't really deal with you and be motivational for everybody else right now. I'll tell you, but compassion is not about having the right ideas. It's not about that at all. It's about doing the thing that God smiles over. It's about helping somebody. It's about changing something about your life to get them going. This is what the Samaritan does, changes something to get them going. I'll tell you what I hate. I've learned to hate awareness campaigns. This is not an awareness campaign. I'm tired of cancer awareness. Yes, cancer is awful. Yes, it needs more money raised to kill it. Yes, I understand. But cancer awareness is not going to ever solve cancer. Awareness on Facebook, sharing things, awareness is never going to change it. And we think this thing, if I like things or I share things, I make it aware, sometimes I'm helping. We're only helping today if we say, I'll feed you. I will educate you. I will put my money on the line for you. I'm cracking on my thing here, I think. Here we go. All right. Okay, so we tend to think that, you know, what we do doesn't have an impact, and it really, really does. We had a family, part of our church, the Brazzi family, has been sponsoring a child in Nicaragua. They heard some people were going to be going to Nicaragua, so they said to them, "Hey, would you take some school supplies for them? You can get very engaged or unengaged in the child's life." Even though I never wrote to my kid in the first, you know, whatever years it was, I did the minimum. You could do a birthday thing, you could do a Christmas thing if you want. Even if you just did what I did for years and years and years, just the minimum $38 just automatically coming out, that kid's like, touchdown. He's like, amazing, right? And they just recognize the sacrifices to give them a shot. It means something to them. So this family, they're a bit more engaged than I ever was. And I saw this video, I was like, okay, I need to up my game here. Not even up my game. Just notice what my game is producing. So they sent some friends, said, I'm going to send them a backpack. Will you take the backpack, drop it off their house? There's school supplies in it and all that kind of stuff. So they went to do that. And then when they did that, they just said to the girl, said, hey, I've got my smartphone here. Do you want to say anything back to your sponsor? And I'll take it back with me. And she decided to do that. So let's take a look at what she sent back.
Hola, querida Victoria.
Hello, dear Victoria.
Gracias por estos regalos que me han mandado.
Thank you for the gift that you sent
que
me.
Dios derrame bendiciones sobre tu familia.
May God pour many blessings in your family.
Gracias por ser mi compañera.
Thank you for being my sponsor and a friend for me.
El Señor te bendiga.
May God bless you.
Bendiga toda tu familia.
May God bless you and your family. And may God pour many blessings in your family. I love you very much. Have a Merry Christmas. Have a Merry Christmas with your family. Full of health. Thank you.
How many things do you and I spend money on, you think, that evokes that kind of response? You know, there's some of us in here, you know, you're just in a massive, difficult way financially. You've lost your job, like, ends are not meeting, and there's no seeming way to meet, have ends meet, you know? And God is, you are needing compassion. Others of us in here, and God likely is not going to ask you to sponsor a child. Others of us in here, it's like, we keep a strict budget. We really do. We know where our money's going. We're like, $38, ooh. I don't know, I'm tithing already, I'm doing this, maybe God wants you to, or would have you go in with like 3 or 4 people, do it together. Maybe not at all. Others of us, you know, God's really blessed us, and like taking on another $38 a month is very doable and very joyful for us. Others of us, as we have this opportunity to do this in just a moment, we're like, oh man, This is big for me. I need to think about this for like 24 hours or something like that. Okay, but let's as we have all these different responses, can we at least at the same time look at the impact on life and ask ourselves, how many things do I do that's impacting that life? Not a lot. This is one of them. Jesus says when we go to heaven, in another story, he says when we go to heaven, he says, when you haven't done it for the least of these, you haven't done it for me. And we say, well, what do you mean when we haven't done the least for these? Well, when did you visit someone in prison? When did you clothe somebody? When did you feed somebody? When did you educate people? At least Lib and I will have 2 people there and say, hey, he did for us. Did for us. We got him covered on that. We can vouch for him. That's compassion. That's what Jesus is encouraging in us, what we want to encourage with you. And I'm just pulling out all the stops because I want kids' lives changed. That's what I want. I want kids fed. I want kids educated. And I know God wants to use you to do it. So let's bring up one of our staff members who does a great job with logistics helping us this. Kimonte, please welcome up Kimonte. Come on, Del Monte, also known that way. Wow. So,
You got jokes.
I got jokes, yeah. I try. So how long have you been on staff, Crossroads?
Be 2 years in August, and I'm in the reach out team, and my job is Nicaragua internationally. So I've actually been to Nicaragua 5 times, been to Bolivia once. I've worked with the staff in both countries. I've seen firsthand actually the child centers, the offices in Nicaragua, and they run lean, and it is a world-class organization. All of their efforts are about the child, the child's security, the child's safety. You name it. When you become a sponsor, and you start sending your child gifts, they have records of every interaction financially. Every time the kid gets a checkup, the kid needs glasses. You can actually go and request that, and they will show you line by line where that money goes. If people give money for a gift, Compassion doesn't just give it to the family. A Compassion rep actually goes with the family. Your sponsor said you wanted a bed. We're going to go buy a bed for you. They'll show you a receipt, show you a picture. So it really is very transparent. It's dead on. I mean, it's a spot on organization.
It is. And letter writing. They were actually getting the letter writing. You saw that letter writing operation, didn't you? We overwhelmed them last time, and we want to do it again.
We did. So I went to the Nicaraguan office in Managua, and their mailroom was pretty big, and they have a lot of cubbies for each child development center. It's very organized. We went down, and it was just overflowing with letters. And we literally would stick our hands in the mailbox, pull it out and look, and there was people from Ohio. I actually pulled out 3 letters of people that I even knew that were writing letters, just randomly saw people, oh wow, I know this person. And they are writing their letters. They're so overwhelmed, they only have 25 interpreters in their country for all of Nicaragua. Their job is, their quota is 100 letters a week to translate. So they get the letter, take it home, translate it, put it in Spanish, they write them one in English, and then they'd have to give it back to the kid. So it just takes a while for them to do it. So if you are writing, if you're currently a sponsor, have at it, love that you're doing it. If you're not getting letters right away, be patient, they are coming.
One of the things I've heard from folks who have dropped is I find that give people a reason not to give, and they'll take it every time.
Right.
So as cynical Americans, we're looking for some reason why, oh, I shouldn't be giving that. So I've talked to people who are frustrated. Like, I wrote a letter, it got there, and then I haven't gotten anything back for like 2 months, and it's a sham. I did, and I'm gone, out. You know, and I say to them, look, I wish you had the opportunity and responsibility of running an organization someday, of actually meeting payroll, of actually doing cost-benefit analysis. We can all have our letters back in 2 weeks, but we're going to have to, like, triple the staff, and our $38 would go to, like, $130. Would you want to spend $130 so they can scale up and have... Oh, no, of course we don't want that. So there's ins and outs, there's gives and takes. All I'm trying to say, whatever objection you have to this, it's false. It's false and it's wrong. This is real, and these are kids' lives. It's pretty powerful.
And it's in the piggyback on it being real, their names on those pictures, whether you're looking at anywhere electronically or if you're at a site, you actually see an actual card, those are real kids. We actually sponsor Cindy. So Cindy's a girl. We actually got
They're not computer generated.
They're not computer generated. It's the kids in Nicaragua, their compassion says, hey, take a picture for your sponsor. So they do that kind of blank stare thing. They don't know what's going on. We got an updated picture from Cindy a year after we sponsored her. She's smiling, and it's post-sponsorship because now she knows this picture that I'm taking is going to the Crooms family, and that could be whoever you guys are. I mean, it's an amazing, I just can't talk about it enough. Like I said, I saw it on the ground like Brian. I was a little like, maybe it's not that good. I know it's good, maybe it's not that good. The work that these people put on Bolivians and Nicaraguan staff people that they do, the people at Compassion in Colorado, this is their thing, and they really are passionate about it. They are fired up when they hear about Crossroads. The first time we did it, their staff in Nicaragua, and I'm sure in Bolivia as well too, it felt like they won the Super Bowl. They were elated that they were going to get crushed with more work, but it's like, hey, that's that many more kids that we can love on, that we can feed, that we can educate, not only educate, but also educate with teaching them the Word of God, because that's another thing that your kid will do too, is there's a spiritual component to it. So imagine now, a child is hearing about this story about God and this Good Samaritan, all these other stories, but now they can connect the dots and say, okay, somebody's really doing that for me now too. I get it. I can believe this thing. It's huge.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to give us?
Just really quick, I know a lot of you people like daydream and zone out. If you're thinking, did Chuck Mingo change his t-shirt or put on glasses? He did not. It's two of us. He's actually right over there. We're not the same person.
So you're not the same person.
We're not the same person.
Do black people make that mistake or only white people?
We don't make that mistake. We have a whole other undivided thing for you all for that one. And I don't care who you are. That was funny. Yeah, got you to be laughing. Yeah.
Hey, let's thank you, Monty, for his great, great work he does for us. Great job. Yeah, come on. Great. Oh, my. Racial humor. Always good. So yesterday when I came in before the first service, I knew this was a big weekend, and I came in, and it was like something thick in the air. I turned around, and I just saw, it was an empty room at that point, I just saw all the pictures of the people all on the walls in here, every back wall, and it was like I just crumbled internally. I just could picture photographers going up to these kids and say, hey, got something going, we might be able to sponsor you. Take a photo of you. And this kid's like, And I went up and down every wall, my hands just praying on every wall, up and down, each one all around. I said, God, tell these kids that you have not forgotten them. Tell these kids in your family, there are people who still want you in your ways. That there are people who are not so into themselves, they're into others. Show these people your goodness and your goodness through your people. Show it, God. Show it. Do your thing. I relish the opportunity for us to have an impact as a church. And this is the stuff we do. We step out into the places where other people theorize about and others talk about. We actually go and we actually do it. Crossroads could have been created just for days like today. I do think about it. I do think that, you know, we put ourselves out there all the time as a church. That's just what we do. We don't play it safe. We keep putting and this is not playing it safe to do this at this time for us as a church. But I think sometimes I see those kids and I see videos like that. I think God could have started Crossroads just for days like this. And if we go out of business a year from now, we've fulfilled our mission. I think if I could go to my grave or go to my God and say, God, I just used my skills once every 2 years to feed and educate kids and change lives and change. I think God said, Brian, you've done well. Good job. And you know, that's what I want from you. That's what I want from you. I want you to be the Good Samaritan. I want you to be a neighbor of Jesus. And so I'm going to pray right now, and then we're going to get about changing lives. We're going to get about changing lives. Chuck's going to come up and give us some logistics, and I pray. God, thank you that you brought everybody here, and it's not an accident. Everyone who is in here today is here for a reason. They're here because they were supposed to hear this, and many are here because they are supposed to act on this. God, I pray for an attitude of aggression. There would be where passivity rules in times like this, there would be aggression. Aggressively stepping out. God, we pray you do this today. Amen.
Hey guys, this is an incredible thing that we get to do together across all of the places where Crossroads is, everywhere in the country and the world today, in homes and buildings, in living rooms and coffee shops, wherever we are, we get to move as one church and sponsor these kids together. You know, I got to be a part of this the first year we did it when we sponsored 6,000 kids, and I still have this kid's picture on my fridge. And when we cut those sponsorship checks every month, I get to be excited about getting letters from him, from sending letters. And this is something that as a church, we get to make a dent in. We get to be a part of changing the world. And so wherever you are now, I would love for you to stop what we're doing and go to crossroads.net/compassion. That's right, you can actually stop watching service right now. You can close down the browser, do whatever you need to do to go to crossroads.net/compassion. Pick and sponsor a child in this moment. That's the portal through which you can make sure you're getting a Crossroads kid in Nicaragua that's going to be connected to all of our church's Crossroads kids in Nicaragua. It's an incredibly exciting opportunity and one that I want you to do in this moment. And come back when you're done, because we're going to continue to worship. You know, we worship through song, but one of the ways that we worship is through actually taking action and acting like God and being in favor of these kids. Thank you.
You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down.
Oh,